a tribute to Mick because he has taught us a lot over the years via stories. So you can relax and shut your eyes if you like and imagine this and try and connect with this story with your heart. So I'm not really a fabulous storyteller, and I'm going to borrow Max Lucado's words today. It's a little book that he's written called Because I Love You. Long ago, in a land far away and unlike any you've ever seen, there lived a wise man with bright blue eyes and a long thick beard named Shaddai. He was a large man with a tender heart who laughed often. When he sang, which he often did, everything in nature stopped to listen. Even the children would turn when they heard his voice, and well they should, for he sang for them. And for the children, Shaddai had built a wonderful village. It was more than any child could dream. The children plunged into the sky-blue pond, soared high on the swings hung from the apple tree branches, scampered through the meadows and giggled in the orchards. The sun never seemed to set too early, and the cool night sky always brought a quiet peace. And most of all, Shaddai was always near. When Shaddai wasn't in the meadow or the orchards with the children, he was in the workshop with the children. They loved to be with him while he worked, smelling the sawdust, listening to his songs, and watching him carve chairs out of trees. They would gather around him and take turns pressing their tiny hands flat against his great big one. Every night he would gather the children on the grassy meadow and tell them stories. Fascinated, the children would listen as long as Shaddai or their weary eyes allowed. The children loved Shaddai, and he loved them. He knew each one of them by name, and he knew everything about them. He knew Lucy's love of birds, Roland's fear of darkness, Spencer's shyness, and Paladin's curiosity. When one of them called his name, he dropped whatever he was doing and turned. His giant heart had 100 strings, each held by a different child, and Shaddai loved them all. That's why he built the wall. Rock upon rock. The wall was a high stone fence around the village, so tall it stood high above Shaddai. Even if he stretched his arms as high as he could, he still couldn't touch the top of the wall. He spent days building it, and as he built, he did not sing. But he would often pause and look into the shadows beyond. A deadly forest stood outside the village, filled with cruel thorns and savage beasts and hidden pits. It was no place for the children that Shaddai loved. Beyond the walls is danger, he would tell the children in solemn tones. You were made for my village, not the terrible land beyond. Stay with me, it's safe here. But in his heart, he knew it was only a matter of time. The day he placed the final stone on the wall, he returned to his shop, took a long aspen branch, sat down at his bench, and carved a staff. Shaddai stood the staff in the corner. I'll be ready, he told himself. Sometime later, a boy ran into the workshop. The sandy-haired child with searching eyes and restless energy brought the maker both joy and concern. Shaddai! In one motion, the maker dropped his hammer and turned. What is it, Paladin? The boy spoke in spurts as he gasped for air. The wall! I found a hole! It's a big opening, sir. The boy's hands stretched to show the size. Someone could crawl through it. Shaddai pulled over a stool and sat down. I knew it would be you, Paladin, my child. Tell me, how did you find it? I was walking down the wall, searching for... holes? Paladin paused, surprised that Shaddai knew. Yes, I was looking for holes. So you could see out into the forest. I was curious, Shaddai. I wanted to know why you won't let us go out there. Why is it so bad? Shaddai motioned for the boy to come to him. When Paladin came near, the maker cupped the small face in his hands and lifted it so the boy would look directly into his eyes. The urgency of the look caused Paladin's stomach to feel empty. Paladin, listen to me. The lands out there are not for you. They are not for me. A journey into the forest will hurt you. You were not made for those lands. Let your feet carry you to the many places that you can go, not to the one place you can't. If you leave here, you will not find the way back. Paladin spoke softly. You will fix the hole then? no paladin. I created the whole because I love you so much. But you just said you don't want us to leave. I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay with me. But I did make the opening when I built the wall. But if you don't fix it, the children might leave. I know, Paladin, but I want the children to stay because they want to, not because they have to. Paladin didn't understand. Uncomfortable, he turned to leave. He needed to think about what Shaddai had said. As he entered the sunlight, he looked back to the shop, and there sat Shaddai, leaning backward, still watching him. Paladin was confused. Part of him wanted the safety of Shaddai's shop, while another part drew him toward the fence. He looked again into the shop, where Shaddai was standing now, not moving, but standing, his large hand stretched out to the boy. Paladin quickly turned away as if he hadn't seen it. He walked as fast as he could, aimlessly at first, but then purposefully towards the fence. "I won't get too near," he said to himself. "I'll just peek out." Questions came as quickly as his steps. Why do I want to do what Shaddai doesn't want me to? Why am I so curious? Is it wrong to see behind the fence? By now, Paladin was at the hole. Without stopping to think, he lay on his stomach and squirmed just far enough to stick his head out the other side. "I'll just take a quick look. What can be wrong with that?" Shaddai said. "He made the hole because he loved us. But I wonder what he's keeping me from." As his knees were moving on their own, Paladin crawled further, and soon he was through the hole and on the outside of the wall. He rose slowly to his feet, and for several moments he didn't move, wondering if something would come to hurt him. But nothing did. He sighed. It's not so bad out here. Actually, I like it. What was Shaddai worried about? Paladin began walking into the forest. Twigs snapped beneath his feet and scented flowers filled the air. "I don't see any scary creatures here," he thought. "Just a few steps into the woods to see what it's like," he said aloud. After a dozen more steps, he stopped. He liked it. "There's nothing to fear. You just wait till I tell the others." And he turned to go back through the hole. But the hole was gone. He stopped and stared. He saw only a solid wall. Paladin ran to the wall. What was it? Was this a spot or was it somewhere else? He couldn't remember. He ran a dozen steps one way and then the other. Nothing. Suddenly he heard a strange noise in the woods behind him. He swung around, but he couldn't see anything. Paladin looked into the forest. Now it didn't seem so friendly. It was dark and threatening, as if it was about to destroy him. Desperately he searched the wall, but there was no way through it or over it. "If you leave here, you will not find the way back," Shaddai's words rang in his mind. His eyes were wide with fear, and he sat down and he hugged his knees to his chest and he cried. But he remembered something Shaddai had often said, "I love you so much." Does he love me enough to come and find me? Will he hear me if I call to him? "Shaddai, I'm sorry I didn't listen to you. Please come and help me." Paladin's plea had been heard by the one who loved him even before it was spoken. For as the boy left the workshop, the maker had watched him as long as he could. And when Paladin was out of sight, Shaddai turned, not to take up his work, but to remove his apron. He hung up his tools and reached for his staff, the one he'd carved after he finished the wall. Even before Paladin had reached the wall, Shaddai had left the shop. Before he asked for help, Shaddai was on the way to give it. Even before the hole in the wall had closed, Shaddai had opened another. His strong hands pulled away the rocks until he could see into the forest. With his staff at his side, Shaddai crawled through the hole. He left the village he'd made and set out in search of his child. I'd just like to pray before I carry on. Father, I thank you that you love us, that you love us with the love of a father, with the love of a creator. And Lord, I just pray for each of us here as we sit here and listen to the things I've got to say next. I pray that you will speak to us, not me, but that your words will settle deep within our hearts. In Jesus' name. I must confess that when I read this for the first time, I sat back in my chair and I cried. As an adult, I often forget this childlike way of relating to the Father. I often read the Christmas story from the perspective of an adult human living life on earth. But Max helps us to see this story from the Father's perspective. And what a heartbreakingly beautiful and poignant perspective that is. From the beginning of time, you were in his thoughts. While he created a world complete with trees, flowers, water, and air, he imagined your reaction to it. Humanity was on his mind while he accomplished the greatest feat of creation as a home for us. And because he is God and all-knowing, he knew that things would need redeeming. Yet he created anyway, and what's more, he created us with free will. He walked and talked with his people, and when they chose to do the very thing he warned them about, he responded in love. He covered them. He protected them from the eternal effects of sin, and with love he sent them out. Time passed. Creation wept. The daily companionable walks with their Maker were deeply missed. Humanity made many attempts to rebuild their connection with him on their own terms. And they failed, just like Paladin. Little did they realize that he had his own plans. And those plans were not military like some expected. It might have been easy to gather around and follow a campaigning soldier with all of your strength. They weren't theological like some wanted. It might have appealed to many people's intellect to connect through their minds and to know that they were on the right track after all. They weren't grandiose. If there had been a mass movement of people who mobilized and followed him, it might have made more sense to do the same. But the Father's plans to redeem his children to himself were astonishing. He chose a woman. Culturally, she had no status. And this woman, Mary, came from a lineage that included murderers, adulterers, prostitutes, foreigners, and the like. He chose to burst in on this world where silence had reigned for 400 years with the squalling of a little tiny baby. A tiny baby born to a virgin woman in a stable came with all the promise of a king. Yet I wonder, how did the Father feel in that moment? He had never been apart from his son before now. He somehow chose to release him to a world filled with selfishness to be raised by them. Did he weep, or was he overwhelmed with the excitement as he watched Mary love on this baby of hers with a wonder of her own? I imagine him announcing to the angels, "Look, my son has arrived. Our plan is in action. Soon all of humanity will be gathered to myself once more to be loved like they were designed for." And then he might have gathered around the brand new little family holding his son through the arms of humanity. And in that moment, he knew what was ahead. When we celebrate Christmas, we do celebrate Jesus, and rightly so. But sometimes we forget to celebrate the Father. The Father who selflessly gave his very own Son to come and grow amongst us and to experience humanity from inside its own skin. The Father who planned this moment from the beginning of time itself. The Father knew this was the beginning of the end. He looked ahead to an abandoned cross on a hill, with a beaten, bloody Jesus upon it, who bore the sin of every man who ever lived and every man who ever would live, knowing that the climax was still to come. As Jesus gave up his spirit into the Father's hands, the sky went black and the earth shook. The impossibly thick curtain separating the presence of God from the rest of the temple tore from the top to the bottom, and Jesus yelled out, "It is finished! It is done!" The distance between humanity and the Father was now over. The challenge for me, though, is to live like this. We place our own distance there now. It's not from him. We imagine hurdles that need to be jumped, standards that need to be reached. But like the Maker in our story, our Father is always at the ready to spend time with us. We can now talk with him and journey with him without naked fear. We can take our worries to him and know that he knows what we're going through. We can dream our dreams with him. He made a way for humanity to live and breathe in his presence again. And all through the frail, innocent, dependent body of a tiny baby, squalling in the arms of a woman, in a barn forgotten in a town called Bethlehem.